Hello and welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio for Friday, January 6, 2011. I'm your aptly named host. We're always talking about big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I hope you had a terrific New Year celebration. Last week, were you with me? You could not have been, because there wasn't a show last week, so don't say yes, because you were not here last week. There was no show last week, but 2 weeks ago, on December 23rd, certainly you were here, but to refresh your recollection, since it's been so long, on December 23rd, I had two interviews from National Philanthropy Day at the Westchester County chapter of the Association of Fundraising Professionals. First, it was LinkedIn lovers, Jerry Stengel, principal of Ventureneer, Mark Halpert, principal of Your Best Interest, and Maria Semple, who we all know and be on later today, showed their love of LinkedIn for research, branding, donor and volunteer management, recruiting board members, and more. The second interview was Your Board Can Fundraise. Dennis Miller, principal of Dennis C. Miller Associates, helped you motivate your board for fundraising with training, proper expectations, meaningful experiences, leadership, and more. This week, I have three next-gen charity interviews for you, all pre-recorded at that conference. Abby Fallick is the CEO of Global Citizen Year, and she has thoughts about innovation and leadership. Charles Best is the CEO of DonorsChoose.org, where teachers post their classroom needs and donors support those needs. And he and I talk about connecting donors to the causes that they support. And Wally Collins is an author and a stand-up comic who wants you to live a regretless life. Second half of the show will be with Maria Semple, the Prospect Finder, our regular prospect research contributor on your 2012 prospect plan. She'll help you devise a sensible and executable plan for your prospect research for the new year. On Tony's Take Two, at roughly 32 minutes after the hour, my blog this week is Share My Optimism for 2012. I'm always optimistic at the beginning of a new year. I can't help it. And I'll talk a little about that. We're live tweeting the show today. Use hashtag nonprofit radio to join that conversation on Twitter. This show is supported by GE Grace Corporate Real Estate Services, and I'm grateful to them for their support. Right now, we'll take a break, and then we'll come back with these three next-gen charity interviews. The first will be Abby Fallick, so stay with me.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com. Talking Alternative.
Welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio coverage of the Next Gen Charity Conference 2011. We're at the Tribeca Performing Arts Center in downtown New York City. With me now is Abby Fallick, founder of Global Citizen Year.
She's been an invited speaker at the Clinton Global Initiative and also the Aspen Ideas Festival. And we're going to have her share some of her thoughts about innovation as she did here at the conference. Abby Falick, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Tony. It's great to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. Thank you for sitting down for an interview on a very busy day. So our audience is small and mid-sized nonprofits, but they and I think sometimes they don't think innovatively. I think sometimes they're sort of stuck in the trees. What was your, let's start with your general message on innovation and creating social change?
So I think if we're all paying attention, there are opportunities beyond what's immediately apparent. And sometimes it requires us, as I shared in my talk this morning, to step out of our daily routine, sometimes to immerse ourselves in foreign cultures or contexts, to see things from a different vantage. But that innovation doesn't need to mean necessarily starting your own business from scratch or starting a new enterprise or being an entrepreneur. Innovation can happen within organizations. Innovation can be as simple as changing the way you talk about your organization publicly, the way you do your fundraising, the way you've structured your online platforms.
So the innovation really has to be inspired by the leader. Right? So how does a leader inspire themselves and everybody working with them to think innovatively and creatively?
I think the role of a leader is to envision something that doesn't yet exist.
Excellent.
To see the future in a way that is compelling and clarifying and inspiring to others. And when you can see that and paint that picture, as I've been able to do now with Global Citizen Year, others begin to fall into step and they follow along because they believe in what you're all working toward.
And how do you translate that to your own hiring so that you're hiring people who are going to be open-minded to this and bright thinkers on their own? How do you make sure that you're getting the right people working for you?
Which is absolutely a challenge.
Yeah, because otherwise you'll be up there and thinking great thoughts and no one's following.
Particularly in the early stage, you need other people who think creatively and are wired as entrepreneurs as well. Because to get from zero to anything requires that everybody is an engine. Everybody can see something that doesn't yet exist and instinctively reach out to find the resources needed to apply them toward bringing something to life.
Yeah, so how do we do that?
So I have found that it is often young people who see themselves as less constrained. Millennials tend to have a knack for believing they can run through walls and make things happen.
Okay.
And so surrounding myself with a creative young team of people who see the bigger vision and then are comfortable building the plane while flying it.
All right. Now, Global Citizen Year is a nonprofit. So there's a, is that right? Is a 501c3?
We're a 501c3. I like to say that nonprofit is our tax status and not our management style.
Okay. Excellent. All right. So what the status means is that you do have a board.
Correct.
And what do you do for around board recruitment to bring people who will be equally inspired?
I would say similarly on a founding board.
Still
in particular.
Young, yeah.
Not so young, no. People who are more seasoned, business savvy, who can help guide me because they have the muscle memory themselves of having built new organizations or are currently leading other organizations. So looking for people on the board who are older and wiser and can, you know, essentially be my personal advisors, mentors, and allies in being able to be credible and strategic in how we grow.
All right. And how about for yourself? How do you make sure that you're not bogged down in day-to-day management? That's easy to have habits. It's very seductive
Absolutely.
To deal with administration rather than, you know, broader thinking the way you described. What do you do? What's your recommendation for that CEO, that executive director, who is in the trenches every day?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I am fortunate in that I'm wired in a way that inclines me toward the external parts of the role. So I love, more than anything, sharing my vision and giving other people an opportunity to get involved, whether as funders, supporters, allies, in reimagining how young people learn about themselves in the world. And starting with that as the basic premise, I have tried to build a team of others who complement my skills and who are equally passionate about the set of things that I am not as skilled at,
okay.
And shouldn't be the one to be doing. So have recently hired a phenomenal VP of operations who takes the other side of the house, and she takes it as seriously and as strategically as I do with the work I do externally.
Okay, but that requires terrific insight into your own shortcomings. I mean, that's
absolutely
fair to call it, right? I mean, you'd have to know where your shortcomings lie
key.
So that you hire, yeah. So a lot of introspection, right?
Indeed. And early on, somebody I know and respect very, very dearly suggested that I keep a journal about the things I do every day that give me energy and the things I do that actually deplete my energy. And that from that list, I could describe a job description that would over time move me toward the things that really do get me revved and from which I derive more and more energy and enthusiasm. And so my primary objective is leveraging myself into the role where I am at my best, playing my right role and surrounding myself by people who are much smarter and more talented than I am in a certain set of other things.
Innovation in leadership. Is there anything you want to leave people with? Any thought?
I think in the not-for-profit sector, we can often constrain ourselves by thinking too small. And even in a, you know, particularly in a down economy, there can be a sense of thinking within constraints. And I would just encourage everybody out there to continue dreaming, because we are the ones who need to drive social impact missions forward.
Abby Falick, thank you very much.
Thank
it's
you.
Been a real pleasure. Abby Falick is the founder of Global Citizen Year, and these kinds of thoughts are will get you invited to the Clinton Global Initiative, Aspen Ideas Festival, and other places where thought leaders are. This is Tony Martinetti, nonprofit radio coverage of the Next Gen Charity Conference 2011. Abby Falick, thank you again very much.
Thank you, Tony.
My interview with Abby Falick, I think she had some outstanding thoughts, insights into leadership for social change. We're going to take a break now, and when we return, we'll have my interview from the same Next Gen Charity Conference with Charles Best, CEO, actually, of DonorsChoose.org, and then Wally Collins, author and stand-up comic. So stay with me.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com. Talking
Alternative. Welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio coverage of the Next Gen Charity Conference. We're in Lower Manhattan at the Tribeca Performing Arts Center. And my guest now is Charles Best. Charles leads DonorsChoose.org, where public school teachers post classroom project requests, and donors can pick the projects that they want to support. The site has been selected most likely to make the world a better place by the TechCrunch community. And in 2009 and 2010, Fortune magazine named Charles in as one of their 40 under 40 list of business's hottest rising stars. Charles Best, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tony. Glad to be here.
Pleasure to have you. Thank you. So using a site, you're connecting donors with projects that they never witness live. How do you help make that connection? How do the donors feel connected to the work that they're supporting?
Well, we really feel that hardworking teachers out on the front lines have almost a pent-up expertise and imagination that's just waiting to be unleashed. And DonorsChoose.org endeavors to unleash that frontline expertise and to generate classroom project requests that may often be better targeted and more innovative than big top-down solutions designed by someone who's a higher up.
Okay, so you want the teachers themselves are describing the project and what the impact will be for their students.
That's exactly right. There are about 25,000 classroom project requests seeking funding at any point in time on DonorsChoose.org, and those projects, all submitted by what we call frontline educators, mostly classroom teachers, but could also be a guidance counselor, a coach, librarian. Those projects really are a window into both the unmet needs of students and the innovative potential of dedicated teachers.
And how do you manage the donor relationship so that donors feel a connection, again, with a project they're most likely never going to see live? They're not going to meet the students who benefit from it, who get that impact. How do you manage that donor relationship with the projects?
Well, even a donor who gives $1 to a classroom project on DonorsChoose.org will get photographs of the project in action, a thank you note from the teacher, an impact report from the teacher a couple months into the project talking about the student learning that's taking place. They'll be able to see a cost report showing how every dollar on the project was spent. And if the donor gave $50 or more, they would also get physical student thank you letters from the classroom. It's really rich feedback. It has a lot of our donors feeling like they got more out of the experience, out of the exchange, than the recipient, and it's kind of our secret sauce.
And say a little more about the impact report. What do you encourage teachers to include in that as they're writing that for their donors? Because there is so much in the charitable community about impact.
Absolutely. Well, the impact report, the impact letter that we ask the teacher to write to their donors is not filled with jargon. In fact, it might not even pass muster with a foundation program officer, but it is plain spoken from the heart description of the student learning that's taken place as a result of their project being funded.
And so it sounds like you're working very hard to have that relationship, even though this is all web-based giving, have a relationship between the donor, the teacher in the classroom where the project is, and the students, because you said that they get pictures from the students as well, or thank you notes for a $50 or more gift.
That's exactly right. We see a donation to a classroom project on our site not as an end unto itself, but as a first step on a path that will lead toward full-fledged engagement with public school classrooms and low-income communities. And key to that is the ability of the donor to write a message to the classroom telling them why they picked their project, and the teacher can message right back, even outside of the photos and teacher thank you note and teacher impact report and student thank you letters, which are a part of the process.
So now this is significant because the donors are having contact directly with the people who are the children that are enjoying the outcomes, the impact of their gift, and that's quite unusual in most charitable work. I mean, there aren't a lot of donors meeting the people who are enjoying the benefits of that of the agencies or the organization's work.
That's absolutely right. It's not a face-to-face interaction, but I think it feels almost just about as vivid and rewarding and meaningful as a face-to-face interaction.
Tell me a little about the donor reactions that you get after the process is completed, and I'm sure you've got lots of people who come back, make repeat gifts. Mm. Tell me, share some of the feedback that you've gotten from donors when they've had that close connection with the classroom.
Well, we often hear from donors when they get especially funny or especially emotional letters from students, which could be a student making a funny reference to recess and how they yearn for it all day long, or it could be a student talking about the fact that this is the first time anyone's given them a book. And that's what prompts a good number of our donors to say that they feel like they got as much out of the exchange as the classroom they were looking to help.
And what's the percentage of donors who make a repeat gift?
You know, the percent of donors who make a repeat gift is excellent if you look at year two, year three, year four. Going from year of acquisition, the first year that they give, to year two, are they giving 1 year later? It's actually only 1 in 5 of donors who acquired in a given year who then will give again in year two. But if they're giving in year two, there's a 90% chance they'll be giving in year 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, and you, I'm going to guess you see this as something that other nonprofits should take on, is the relationship between the people who are enjoying the benefits of the work and the people who have enabled that work to take place. Why don't you say a little about that for the audience?
Absolutely. Well, you said it well, but we do see the interactions on our site as the basis for real correspondence, if not actual relationships, between the donors and the classrooms that they're looking to help. And we hope that this means that donors see donorschoose.org as a lot more than a website where they're going to transact a contribution.
Are there many donors that have seen the classrooms face-to-face?
We know it happens. It doesn't happen as part of our process.
Yeah.
But we hear all the time from teachers who, whether it's the teacher or the donor, somehow they've gotten in touch, kind of offline, as it were.
Yeah.
And they'll do exchanges of brownies and visits and physical gifts.
That's fabulous. They just needed that much more. They needed to, for 99.5% of the donors, the correspondence, the way you described it, is sufficient.
That's right.
But for that half a percent, or whatever, what did I just say? For that half a percent, they just needed that closer connection.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
But for the other 99.5%, you've got it worked out, and I think the message is clear for our audience that that connection is crucial between the donor and the I don't like to call them service recipients, the people who are benefiting.
Uh huh.
And I don't see much of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Thank you, Tony.
My pleasure. Charles Best is leader of DonorsChoose.org. And this is Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio coverage of the Next Gen Charity Conference 2011. Welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio coverage of the Next Gen Charity 2011 conference. We're at the Tribeca Performing Arts Center in New York City. And my guest right now is Wally Collins.
Yay!
Wally was the opener. Welcome.
Well, thank you for welcoming me.
He was the opener, and he's also going to be speaking later here at Next Gen. He's right. A comedian and author. His stand-up comedy credits include being on NBC, CBS, ABC, lots of other acronyms,
yes.
And CC, Comedy Central.
Right.
but he's also an author, not only a stand-up comic, but also an author. And this is his book. I know you can see it, and I'm going to let Wally pronounce it as you're looking at it. How do you pronounce the title of this book?
It's called The You Never Know Book of Encouragements. That's right. The word is You Never Know.
And the subtitle underneath the door is Living a Regretless Life.
Right.
I love that. So we're talking to small and mid-sized charities.
Mm-hmm.
How does your work overlap with charitable work?
Well, actually, the whole idea behind You Never Know, it's not charitable, but it's motivating.
Okay.
And
charities need motivation.
Yes.
Their donors need motivation.
Exactly.
Big overlap.
Exactly. And the producers here, they asked me to speak to help motivate people to help live their dreams, go for their goals and desires. And that's exactly what I did. I was an architect before I got into comedy. And my mom asked me if you could be anything, what would it be? I said, I'd love to be an actor. Now she's confused. Why are you an architect? You could be an actor. So I told her I was from Springfield, Massachusetts. No one famous ever came from Springfield, Massachusetts. And she says, well, you never know.
All right.
So it kind of like sparked me. I'm like, oh, wow. So I pursued comedy. And I just kept that mantra in my head, you never know, you never know. And with that, I was one of the original hosts on Comedy Central. Mm-hmm. Had my own show. In fact, I was the first black host on Comedy Central.
Congratulations.
And
when was that? When did you start beginning hosting?
91. And so I kept that mantra in my head. I said, you know what, I can go for anything because I don't want any regrets. And the whole point of You Never Know is that I don't want to be that person on my deathbed saying, I always wonder what it was like. I always want to know. I'm always curious about
what,
that.
What if I had? I regret not having.
Exactly. And sometimes people do it like end of the day. They're like, you know, how come I didn't say hello to that girl, to that guy? Or how come I didn't make that phone call? Or how come I didn't give to that charity? You know, so how come I didn't donate? I should have donated, you know. So I want people to live a regretless life because that is the key to happiness. It's not about, you know, the result or succeeding or failing. It's the fact of trying. And I realized that once you're trying, and then you're in the trying, that's where the happiness is. The example I give is that when you go on a journey, it's a long journey, and when you get to the place you need to get to, see a friend or family, the first thing they say to you is, how was your trip?
Yeah.
It's about the journey. It's about the try. So I realized that, and so I wrote this book. There's 52 encouragements in there. Each encouragement is to inspire you to go through any kind of door, any kind of problem, any kind of obstacle that you have.
All right. So there are 52 of them.
Yes.
One a week? Is that what you intended? Is that just a coincidence?
That was no. I actually, I wanted to do one a week and let that be your mantra, let that be your motivator for the week. And people have been reading all the way through. Some people like read them at random.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really cool because it's getting great reviews and people are giving us gifts now to friends and family.
Can we talk about a few of the?
Sure,
because we want people to live a regretless life.
Exactly.
We want them to be motivated not only in their work.
Right.
This is for work and all aspects of life. Right?
Exactly.
Your personal life, your work.
Exactly. Relationships. Okay. You know, losing weight, anything. You know, your health. The book talks about, you know, it inspires you about your health, relationships.
All right. So can I? It's not a challenge.
Go ahead.
I'm picking out the ones that I think are a little interesting. Yeah,
right.
Maybe we'll find something provocative. I don't know. But
okay.
I don't know. Well, let's see. Listen and learn. What's your lesson around listen and learn?
Listen and learn. You can learn a lot about a person if you just shut up. If you let the person talk. And
I know. I can learn so much about you. If I would just keep quiet. If I would just ask you some decent, open-ended questions,
right.
I would learn so much more than is in this bio or something. Because people know comedian and author. I mean, that's all understood. But if I would shut that trap, I could learn so much more about you, much, much deeper than the book or any bio would reveal or anything like that.
Right.
No, that's true.
Exactly. I was quiet and listened to you, and I learned about you. So that's the whole point of listening and learning
is
that you do learn a lot about a person. If you just let them talk and not necessarily agree or disagree with what they say, but just nod your head from time to time to say, I am listening to you. And you really learn about their values, their views, basically their personality. So that's one of the encouragements. Just listen and learn about someone. Just listen.
And I'm going to drive that directly to the nonprofits that we're talking to in terms of listening and learning from your donors.
Mm-hmm.
They'll tell you so much about why they give to your charity, what it is that is special in their lives about your work.
Right.
And when you can key on those things that you know move them to give, then you've got a sweet spot and you've got a method of
just that simple
helping them to give.
Just that simple.
Excellent. Yep. Wally. All right. We know there's intersection here. We're exploring. We're finding.
Pick another one. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay.
Shuffle through there. Go ahead.
A fish life. What's a fish life about?
Well, it's basically like a metaphor. You look at fish in an aquarium, and they're content, but they're in an aquarium. And the way we think, a lot of people think, is that, you know, they're content where they are. And so are you going to live the rest of your life living as a fish in an aquarium, or do you really want to go through that door? Because the logo for You Never Know is a door. It's a partly open door. That's possibilities and opportunities. Mm-hmm. So are you going to allow yourself just to basically get into the You Never Know state of mind and broaden your world to a beautiful sea of possibilities and opportunities?
No commentary. It's just
okay.
Very well said. Very
All
well,
right.
And I think it's a terrific metaphor also.
Mm-hmm.
All
right, go ahead.
This is a great one. This is an uplifting one. Celebrate good times right now.
That's pretty much right
day
there.
Day to day.
We have a habit of holding on to champagne. We have a habit of, you know, not going to wear a tuxedo until something special happens, you know. But I realize that, and it's kind of fun. I do it from time to time. I'll put on my tuxedo. My wife, we put it on, and, you know, we'll just celebrate. That day, we'll celebrate Tuesday.
All right, at home, or you go out in your tux?
We go out.
In your evening attire.
Yeah, we go out, and we go out, and you celebrate. And people are looking like, what are you celebrating? We're like, we're celebrating Tuesday. Like, and they can't say that's something like, oh, yeah, you know, celebrate it. Don't wait. Celebrate today.
And take the time to recognize what in your life merits celebration. And there's so much.
And one of the encouragements is called take inventory. And in order for you to basically receive things in your life that you want, appreciate the things that you have already. And we take them for granted. You know, the simple things like the breath in our lungs, you know, the fact that we can, you know, we can listen, we can hear. Those simple things we take for granted because we have them all day. We have them every day. So if you take inventory of all the things that you have, then the other things that you want to receive or things that you want or things you want to achieve are a lot easier.
Don't stereotype stand-up comics, because Wally has some terrific thoughts that I think apply to the charitable sector and certainly well beyond.
Right.
His book is the You Never Know Book of Encouragements. There's the door, opportunity, and below that, live a regretless life.
Right.
And Wally Collins is a comedian and author, and again, his stand-up comic credits all kinds of NBC, CBS, ABC, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And Wally, I want to thank you very much for being my first guest at Next Gen Charity.
Oh, thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. This is Tony Martinetti, Nonprofit Radio coverage of the Next Gen Charity 2011 conference. We're at the Tribeca Performing Arts Center in New York City. Wally, thank you again.
You're welcome.
My interview with Wally Collins, and I want to let you know how you spell his name is W-A-L-I, Wally, and his book, The You Never Know Book of Encouragements, that first word is spelled Y apostrophe N-E-V-A-N-O. You never know. And you can always find him, of course, by just Googling his name. We're going to take a break. When we return, Tony's Take Two, and then Maria Semple on your prospect plan for 2012. So stay with me.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Hi, this is psychic medium Betsy Cohen, host of the show The Power of Intuition. Join me at talkingalternative.com Mondays at 11 a.m. Call in for a free psychic reading. Learn how to tune into your intuition to feel better and to create your optimum life. I'm here to guide you and to assist you in creating the life that you deserve. Listen every Monday at 11 a.m. on talkingalternative.com.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Lively conversation, top trends, sound advice. That's Tony Martinetti, Nonprofit Radio. And I'm Ken Berger from Charity Navigator.
Welcome back to the show. Time for Tony's Take Two at roughly 32 minutes after the hour. My blog this week is Share My Optimism for 2012. I can't help it. At the beginning of every year, I am optimistic about what's coming. Even in January of last year, 2010, early, deep in our recession, I was still looking forward to what was coming in 2010. I always feel that way. And I've hardly ever been disappointed about that. That was last year, well, in 2010, deep in our recession. Oh, 2011 was our recession. We were deep in our recession. Even the year before that, Sam is prompting me. It doesn't matter what year it was. We're talking about Sam. I was still optimistic. So this year, what I'm looking forward to is, among many other things, which you'll see on the blog, is expanding the reach of the show on iTunes. If you're listening on iTunes, you're one of roughly 1,000, a little more than 1,000 people listening each week to the podcast on iTunes. Hope to expand that and also do maybe one or two more conferences than I did last year, where we're on the exhibit floor, like the Next Gen Charity Conference that you heard three interviews from today. And there's other stuff coming up. So I hope you'll take a look at that. And also, I hope even more important than that, you'll share with me what you're optimistic about. There are already some comments on the blog. Please add yours. You'll find my blog at mpgadv.com. And that is Tony's Take Two for Friday, January 6th, the first show of the new year. Maria Semple is with me. Maria, how are you doing?
Hello, Tony. Happy New Year.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year. Maria is the Prospect Finder. She's an experienced trainer and speaker on prospect research. Her website is theprospectfinder.com. Her book is Panning for Gold, Find Your Best Donor Prospects Now. Again, welcome, Maria. We're talking about your prospect plan in 2012.
That's right. I thought it would be a great way to kick off our first show together of 2012. So I've got some great tips to share, and I know that you had done a bit of a survey prior to this show as well. Do we have any results on that?
Sure we do. She leads right into the survey. That's cool. So we're going to be talking a little about donor databases. So I'll share one of the questions, which was, do you have a computer-based fundraising and donor management database? And about 89% of respondents do have a computer-based, and then roughly 11% do not. So what is your advice around a computer-based donor management system?
Okay, great. Well, actually, I'm delighted to hear that the statistics were as high as they were in terms of organizations that are using one. I hope that those that are using one or are thinking about selecting one do a little bit of homework in advance, and there are some great websites to be able to help them do that. As a prospect researcher, right, or a fundraiser, or an executive director of a nonprofit organization, it's really important that all those meetings that you have with prospects, all of those touch points, whether they be through email marketing, through letters that are sent out, annual appeal, et cetera, that all of that is somehow captured and recorded into some sort of a system. And there are wonderful systems out there. Now, to do some advanced research on what to use, what to look for, couple of websites I want to point your listeners toward. Idealware, IDEALWARE, idealware.org, is actually a website that is themselves a nonprofit, but they help nonprofits make smart software decisions. And they actually have a page on their site talking about how to choose software. They have one that I noticed that was published June 2011, A Consumer's Guide to Low-Cost Donor Management Systems. That might be really useful. And I noticed they actually have a live seminar coming up January 26th of this month on choosing a low-cost donor management system. So definitely anybody thinking about this for this coming year might want to check out idealware.org. Another great site is TechSoup, and this is probably one you may have even touched upon in the past on some of your shows, Tony. TechSoup.org, T-E-C-H, soup.org. Great site to help nonprofits and so forth, and you can actually get low-cost and sometimes free technology through them. So both those sites would be great for doing some research and trying to figure out which system would be best.
And we've also had Scott Kegler, our regular tech contributor, talking about donor management software several shows ago, but it was on a cloud-based discussion that we were having. Maria, I think a lot of people just think of the one big player. They think of Blackbaud and Razor's Edge, which is many tens of thousands of dollars to get into, and I think a lot of nonprofits don't realize that there are enormous numbers of alternatives to Razor's Edge.
Yeah, there are actually, and interesting that you mentioned Blackbaud, because one of their divisions is eTapestry, eTapestry.com. They used to be a standalone company and were absorbed a few years back. However, they are one of those cloud-based type systems that you just happen to refer to, and also very low-cost entry point, et cetera. So that might be something to think about. I am a fan of using something that is cloud-based. I like the fact that the system is, and all of your donor information is not actually housed in your office. In terms of in case there's a fire or a break-in or a flood, you know, there's so many things that could disrupt your ability to just pick up and proceed your fundraising mm-hmm. program once whatever the tragedy is, you know, has passed.
Maria, let me interject there. From the prospect research perspective, what else do you want to see in a donor management system?
I want to see something that is very easy to use from a staff standpoint as well as a board standpoint. So the simpler the system, I think, the better. If a board member can have a meeting with a donor or a donor prospect, let's say they have a dinner meeting, and then they're able to go home right afterward, log into this system, password-protected system, obviously, and record the contents, the high points of the conversation, that's going to be extremely useful to get what, you know, like a contact report. Filed right away while it's still fresh in their mind.
Yeah.
So I think that something that's easy enough for both staff and board to use, obviously password protected, and it's my understanding that you can even have, you know, certain levels of information accessible as well to various people. So something that's easy to use, easy to produce reports, if you can have something that will integrate with sending out email marketing, obviously something that's going to integrate with a mail merge system of some sort, that, so that you can do all of your mailings right from that system and capture the information.
I love that you mentioned the contact report, because that is such a wealth of information and critical information, so that when volunteers like board members turn over and CEOs and fundraising directors turn over, that institutional knowledge isn't lost. It's preserved. It's critical, because the donor and the volunteers, they remember those conversations. But as staff in the nonprofit turns over, the nonprofit could lose that valuable information if it's not preserved.
Right. Absolutely. It's very important, Tony. And I know even in your work that you do with planned giving, I mean, imagine, you know, you walk into an organization that has had somewhat of a decent, say, major gift program in place. And then they want to introduce a more integrated planned giving component, and then staff changes, and suddenly you have no idea what conversations have potentially taken place in the past about planned giving if it hasn't been captured somewhere.
It becomes embarrassing to the organization.
Absolutely, you know, because the donor is going to expect that that his wishes, his concerns, his or her concerns were captured somewhere. And it doesn't matter who he's talking to at the organization. If it's a new face, that new face should be well aware of what that donor's intent is for the future.
And you have some advice around from prospecting within, which is sort of what you're leading to. It doesn't have to be leading to a planned gift, but mining that database in your 2012 plan.
Right. So something that they may want to focus on for this first month or two of the year, why not take a look at who your top 10 gifts were in the past year, okay, whatever that gift level is for your organization, and then take a separate look at what the top 10 prospects have been for your organization in terms of lifetime giving. So here we're talking about individuals, okay?
We'll get to institutions shortly.
Right. So what I'm hoping is that by being able to identify those people, there may be some crossover there. You may want to extend it even to top 20, depending on the size of your organization. But then you'll have perhaps a nice pool of people that you can begin to think about a great cultivation plan and start putting something on the calendar, maybe a nice cultivation event coming up in the next, say, at the beginning of the next quarter, right? So come up with the names, what the plan is going to look like for cultivating these individuals, what the event will look like, whether it should be at your home, someone's home, at your organization, you know, and, you know, morning, evening, whatever seems to be the right fit for your organization, or maybe try both.
Okay.
And think about a way to cultivate those donors and elevate their gifts further. So that's a bit of reactive and proactive prospecting, really combined. And let me define that, because I know you don't like jargon, Jill.
Okay, I was. She cuts me up. You've been on the show enough times.
I can tell exactly yes, where you were going.
She heard the spurs and the jailer's keys jingling in the background.
So reactive research. You have names of individuals. You need to know more information about them. So you have known names, and you need to know more about those individuals, okay? Proactive is when you're proactively trying to come up with completely new individuals, okay? So the great thing about a cultivation event is even though you have individuals who are giving to you, why not encourage them to bring a friend, bring a new person to the table who would also benefit from knowing about your organization?
Maria, one of the poll questions was, how would you describe your prospect research, proactive research? Proactive, reactive, or a combination. About 22% said proactive, about 22% said reactive, and about 56% said some combination of proactive and reactive, which
okay,
is what
great.
You were just talking about. We're going to take a break right now, and Maria Semple, of course, the prospect finder, will stay with me, and we'll continue talking about your prospect research plan for 2012. So I hope you'll stay with us.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Maria Semple and I are talking about your prospect plan for 2012, and I learned that we have a listener in Dhaka, Bangladesh. I think I know who that is. Hello. Hello, Dhaka. It's good to have you with us, as well as there are a couple listeners in the U.S. also, but we should recognize our Bangladesh listener. Maria, so we've talked about proactive versus reactive. What about doing some more proactive research outside of your own database?
Okay, so one thing I want to make sure I set aside some time to talk about is setting up alerts to have information pushed to you. Let's get some of this put on autopilot for 2012. Let me talk about some ways to do this. If you go to Google, set up a free Google account, you can set up an alert, a Google alert, on whatever you want. That means that every day Google is going to go out on the web and scour it for information related to that word or that phrase that you're going to want to have them look for on a daily basis, and they will push that information out to you. So let Google do that legwork, push the information to you, and you can take a look at the search results as appropriate.
Maria, how do you set up alerts in Google?
You go into Google, and then there is a spot where it's one of the options going across the top. If it's not there, if they've moved it, look under the More tab, and then you'll be able to find how to set up alerts.
Okay.
What I would suggest is, again, maybe sticking with your top 10 donors, set up an alert on their name. Okay, this would be a good way to find new information that might come up on those donors, or proactively, if there are potential donor prospects that you would proactively like to find out more information about, somebody that you're thinking about incorporating into your fundraising plan at some point in the near future, why not start having Google gather some information and push it over to you? Also, your organization's name, just a great way to keep tabs on how your organization may be mentioned out on the web. Newspapers have alerts that you can set up as well, okay?
And we're still in the free category, right? We're talking about free resources.
This is all free.
Okay.
In fact, one of the newspapers that I like to have information pushed from happens to be my statewide business publication, NJ Biz, and they actually push news headlines to me. So this is a great way for nonprofits to proactively stay on top of what's going on in their business community, in their state, okay, and then have an opportunity to take a look at some of those business headlines, and I'll bet you there are going to be some gems of information in there on some companies and some business owners that they had no idea were right in their own backyards that are actually very successful.
While we're talking about alerts, how do you get the alerts?
You actually set it up so that you indicate what piece of, well, on the business publication, they just send you business alerts related to news going on in your state.
By email, you mean? That's how
right,
you get the
and
alerts?
They just email it to you.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
On Google, they email you the search result on whatever the phrase is that you're interested in researching.
And I think, okay? And a lot of these alerts, too, you can set the frequency, whether you want your alerts daily or weekly or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. On Google, I happen to have alerts set up to be sent to me daily on certain phrases that I'm interested in keeping tabs on, prospect research, high net worth, things of that nature.
Okay.
Another source that actually is foundation-related, so this will help us to segue into what we want to look at in the foundation world as well for our 2012 prospecting plan. There's a source called foundationsearch.com that is one of the foundation research sites, right? But one of the things that you can do with them is set up a free email alert. When new foundations are registered in your state, you will be emailed an alert indicating that a new foundation has been registered. So this is a great way, again, this is a proactive measure on your part. Stay on top of new foundations, new family foundations being registered. This would potentially give you an opportunity to get in the door a little bit sooner than maybe one of the other nonprofits in the state.
And that URL again was foundationsearch.org?
.com.
.com, foundationsearch.com. Excellent.
Right,
all these
right.
free resources. You know, one of the poll questions...
Well, that one is actually a fee-based resource.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't want to leave it out, only because they do have that alert service within the foundation community, which sometimes nonprofits are really looking for that extra edge.
One of the poll questions was, do you know that there are lots of free resources for prospect research? And only 22% of the people said yes, and the other 78% said no, I better listen to the show. So I hope that they are doing that, because Maria has just given you three or so free resources. Let's look at another free prospect research tool site for your 2012 plan, and in just about a minute and a half we have left.
Okay, well, I have a bunch of them aggregated actually in a free download.
Oh, tell us where.
Website.
Where do we get the download?
Yeah, it's on my website, and it is a free resource called Going Beyond Google to Research and so your prospects. So that one has a number of resources in it, but one that I thought I would highlight for you.
Before you go further, let me just remind people that your site is theprospectfinder.com.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
Exactly. And what you can do is, one of the resources that I was thinking about that would be great to highlight, because it'll help point you in the direction of both businesses and business owners.
And Maria, we just have about a minute left.
Okay, it's Reference USA. You can get it free through your local libraries. You can do a search based on your criteria, the types of businesses you're looking for. And again, this is a great way, something for you to do proactively first quarter of this year, and figure out a way to implement and integrate these new businesses that you find, small, medium, successful businesses in your communities.
I hope that 78% that didn't know about the free resources are listening. Maria Semple is the prospect finder. Her book is Panning for Gold, Find Your Best Donor Prospects Now, and she's our regular prospect research contributor. Maria, thanks so much for being on again.
Thank you so much. Happy New Year, everyone.
Thank you. We'll talk to you in February. I want to thank Maria Semple and also Abby Falick, Charles Best, and Wally Collins for sitting down with me on a very busy day at the Next Gen Charity Conference. And my thanks also to the leaders of the Next Gen Charity Conference. Next week, Podcasting Primer. John Federico, principal of The New Rules and our remote producer for this show, will be with me. If you are not listening to this show on Friday, January 6th, which those of you who are now with me are doing, but for the 1,000 or so people after today, you already know what podcasting is because you're listening to one. But John is going to explain how to do podcasting as outreach for your nonprofit, how to get started with budget and gear and content and format and strategies. Maybe you will start your own internet radio show. But don't call it Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. That name is taken. Scott Kegler will also be with me next week. He's our regular tech contributor and the editor of Nonprofit Technology News. And we'll be talking about Twitter organization pages. What are they? Should you jump in? And if so, how should you get started? Keep up with what's coming up on the show. Sign up for our insider email alerts on the Facebook page. If you like the show, like us on Facebook. Click that button. You know you can listen live or archive. Archive, go to nonprofitradio.net. Nonprofitradio.net. That will take you to our iTunes page. Subscribe there and listen anytime. On Twitter, you can follow me. Use the show's hashtag. Use it with impunity. That hashtag is nonprofitradio. And we're going to have a guest tweeter next week. Guest live tweeter next week is going to be Dan Blakemore. This show is sponsored by GE Grace & Company. If you're worried about the rising costs of rent for your organization or need to capitalize on real estate your nonprofit owns, GE Grace & Company provides you and your board with analysis, so real estate decisions are made with transparency and thoroughness. George Grace has been advising nonprofits on their real estate decisions for over 25 years. GEGrace.com or 888-747-2237. The creative producer for Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio is Claire Meyerhoff. Janice Taylor is our line producer. The show's social media is by Regina Walton of Organic Social Media. And the remote producer and my guest next week of the show is John Federico of The New Rules. I hope you'll be with me next Friday, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern, on Talking Alternative Broadcasting, where you'll always find us at talkingalternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Looking to meet Mr. or Mrs. Right, but still haven't found the one? Want to make your current relationship as fulfilling as possible? Then please tune in on Mondays at 10 a.m. for Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison. As a professional matchmaker, I've seen it all. Tune in as we discuss dating, relationships, and more. Start your week off right with Love in the Morning with Marnie Gallison on TalkingAlternative.com.
Hi, I'm Julie.
Hi, I'm Julia.
What are you wearing? Welcome to J&J's Secrets of Style and Beauty.
We know there's beauty and style in all you do, whether it's a job interview,
first date,
or wedding. We also know that not everyone understands what works best for him or her.
We're here to help. Think of us as your personal beauty, style, and grooming gurus. As industry experts, we'll give you the best information for men and women on how to look phenomenal.
Tune in Tuesdays at 8 p.m.
to learn how to look your best.
Are you fed up with talking points rhetoric? Every way you turn, it's left or right spin, ideology, no reality. In fact, it's ideology over intellect. No more. It's time for the truth. Join me, Larry Sharp, a.k.a. The Neosage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern, for the Ivory Tower radio program. In the Ivory Tower, we'll discuss what's important to you, society, politics, business, and family. It's provocative talk for the realist and the skeptic who want to know what's really going on, what does it mean, and what can be done about it. So gain special access to the Ivory Tower and listen to me, Larry Sharp, your neo-sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11, New York time. Go to ivorytowerradio.com for details. That's ivorytowerradio.com. The Ivory Tower is a great place to visit for both entertainment and education. Listen in, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11. It will make you smarter.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
TalkingAlternative.com.